This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, alhamdulillah, hamdan yuafi ni'amahu wa yukafi'u mazidah. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدني علما رب زدني علما رب زدني علما. Welcome dear viewers, this is your brother Abdul Wahab Salim, and we are going to be discussing on this exciting show tafsir of Surah Al-Hujurat. Some reflections on Surah Al-Hujurat. Surah Al-Hujurat is a very, very powerful and unique surah. Surah Al-Hujurat is that surah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made very, very particular for the believers. Surah Al-Hujurat is that surah which some of the scholars will refer to as Surah Al-Adab, Surah of the Manners. It guides us to the highest morale, it guides us to the highest level of manners, it teaches us how to treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it teaches us how to treat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it also teaches us how to treat those people who have yet to accept the belief. Teaches us how to treat people who are believers, yet they are far away from us, or who are believers and they are right before us. So it gives us a comprehensive guideline on how to treat people. Surah Al-Hujurat is a very, very powerful and beautiful surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا 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 And this is a phenomenon that occurs 5 times within Surah Al-Hujurat. Oh, who you believe. And the reason for that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Surah Al-Hujurat a surah very, very specific to the believers, meaning that it is like a direct address, a guideline, a code, a manner in which we can conduct a code of conduct, a manner in which we can conduct ourselves. And just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this beautiful surah off with those same words, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O who you believe. So it starts off with this call, and it also has this call within it 5 times. And of course the call is to other people as well, but the call is specifically meant over here to the believers so that we pay attention to this mannerism in which we're supposed to conduct ourselves with other people. Society, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the not yet Muslims, the Muslims who are away from us, the Muslims who are close to us, all of this is very, very beautifully summed up within this surah, Surah Al-Hujurat. Surah Al-Hujurat was revealed as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his hujra. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his house. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in his house, a group of people from Banu Tamim, they came and they stood before the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they spoke very, very loudly. Right? They spoke loudly, and this was occurring in what was known as Aam al-Wufud, the year of the delegations. There was a year in which a lot of delegations had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was after Fath Mecca, the conqueror of Mecca, right? So the reason for that was because now a lot of people are either wanting to accept Islam or wanting to come to a political peace with Islam and Muslims and so on and so forth. So a lot of different people had sent their delegations from their part, countries and different locations, tribes and so on and so forth. So as he's sitting amongst his house with his family, people come and they say the type of things that they would say to a regular king, okay? And they speak in a manner that they would speak to a regular king. Now of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't wish to be a king, but he was Rasul. He was a messenger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided these people in this beautiful surah on how to address Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even before he guided them how to address, he told them first and foremost of the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so they know through this divine guidance on how and who this messenger is and why we should be treating him the way we should be treating him and how we should be treating him as well. This is how the surah, Surah Al-Hujurat, started. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he gave guidance on how to treat Rasulullah, he also gave us guidance on how to treat every other people amongst the different sectors that have been described already, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the first of them, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the non-Muslims, the Muslims, and other such people as well. This is, in a nutshell, the Surah Al-Hujurat. and what it's about. It summarizes the different ideas that you will find within Surah Al-Hujurat. Before I go into the words of Surah Al-Hujurat, I want to take a moment to talk about Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be telling you of the status and telling me of the status of Rasulullah. So who's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The first and foremost thing that I want you to know about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran saying, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. You, O Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have given you something called Al-Kawthar. What's Al-Kawthar? Al-Kawthar is this comprehensive idea of goodness. Al-Kawthar literally comes from the word Al-Kathra, which means lots and lots and lots. So when Allah says, I have given you, O Messenger, Al-Kawthar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I have given you lots and lots and lots and lots of goodness, period. Anything good that you can think of among society, I've already given that to you. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the strongest of human beings. And that's why even the strongest person of his time, Rukana ibn Yazid, he accepted Islam because the Prophet ﷺ won over him in a wrestling match. The Prophet ﷺ had been given the most beautiful beauty. And that's why Hassan ibn Thabit, he says about Rasulullah ﷺ, وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَ قَطْ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقَتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقَتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. More beautiful than you, more perfect than you, my eyes have never seen. وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ. And more beautiful than you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, women have never bore, they've never given birth to anyone more beautiful than you. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not forget to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ خُلِقَتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. You have been created, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perfect of all defects. It's as if you have been created just as you yourself had pleased for yourself to be created. This is the creation of Rasulullah, the physical beauty of Rasulullah. The Prophet ﷺ was the most intellectual of people, the smartest of people, the smartest human being to ever walk this face of the earth. The Prophet ﷺ, even his sweat did not smell. The Prophet ﷺ, when he would sweat, that sweat would actually turn into what? It would turn into tib, it would turn into perfume. The Prophet ﷺ's hair were not just disposed of. The Prophet ﷺ's hair, his hair, when he would have a haircut, the Sahaba would use. And they would use these hair of Rasulullah ﷺ to gain barakah, blessings from this hair of Rasulullah. To a degree that some of the Sahabiyat, they would keep the hair of Rasulullah ﷺ, mix it into water for anyone that becomes sick. And then the person would drink this water to gain shifa, to gain healing and cure from the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the status of Rasulullah is extremely, extremely high. It's very high. He is in fact the greatest human being to ever walk the face of this earth. And I at times was perplexed. I said, well, we always say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the greatest human being to ever walk this earth. And then we find within the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا. That Ibrahim alayhi salam was a ummah. He was a nation all by himself. قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ. He was a nation all by himself that would be humbling himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would be far, far away from any form of polytheism. This is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now Allah is calling Ibrahim alayhi salam what? He's calling Ibrahim alayhi salam a nation, meaning that Ibrahim has all of the beautiful qualities that a nation has to offer within it. All of the beautiful qualities, if you think about agricultural produce and the sciences related to it, he's going to be able to do that. Anything beautiful that you can think that leads to a prosperous society, Ibrahim alayhi salam can work in that realm. And he knows about that. But even though that is the case, and we say Rasulullah is the greatest human being to walk this earth, how then do we compare between these two phenomena? One is like a nation all by himself. Ibrahim left his wife, child, Hajar, Ismail, right in Mecca. Mecca became a great city of Islam and even before Islam. So he is literally a nation because in one family he was able to establish an entire city, an entire generation, an entire progeny, and an entire identity that lives on till today. The family of Ibrahim, the Semitic religions that all attribute themselves back to Ibrahim, and so on and so forth, right? Now the question here is, that if that is the case, then what about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Until I came across a verse in the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the status of Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Do they become jealous of the people? Of who? The people. People, humanity at large. An-nas is inclusive of every single person within humanity. Those that were born in the pre-Islamic phase, those that were born to Adam alayhi salam, those that were born who were born after the advent of Islam, those who will be born till the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do they become jealous of the people? عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Because of what we have given to them of the virtue. Do they become jealous of such people? And if you look at the tafsir of this ayah, the scholars almost agree on the fact that this ayah is in reference to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a reference to Rasulullah, that do they become jealous of Rasulullah, and Allah calls Rasulullah the people. So if Ibrahim alayhi salam was a nation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is humanity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embodies anything good you can think of in humanity in its entirety. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the status of your messenger. Anything good that you can think of, period. Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most able and was the most blessed and was the most fortunate and favored of the people with that blessing, with that virtue. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when we say this is the status of Rasulullah, we still notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still calls them the people, right? He still says, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Do they become jealous of the people? So that means he remains within the people. And that's why Allah reminds us of this phenomenon in the Quran saying, say, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say, I'm just a human being, just like all the rest of you. Meaning he's a human being, right? I am just a human being, just like all the rest of you. But when he will say this, what will happen is some people will have a misconception. They will say, well, he's like all the rest of us, as in we have our choice to do what? To figure things out on our own. We have our choice to make our decisions on our own. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cancels this particular idea out and this particular possibility out by saying, يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. The difference between me and you, despite the fact that we are all from amongst humanity, is that I have been given a virtue over you in that I get revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. I get the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as soon as we say, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, I get the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately what will happen is, people will start to say, well, if he gets the revelation, then he deserves our worship, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cancels this possibility out as well. And he says that yuha ilayya, and what's the revelation that's coming to me? What's the revelation that's coming to you, O Messenger? Now of course the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is addressing the people with this address that he's been commanded to address the people by. Allah said, قُلْ say to the people such and such. إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. I am just a human being like all the rest of you. I get the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's that revelation? أَنَّمَا إِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهُ وَاحِدٌ. Indeed of a surety, your Lord is just one Lord. Right? So if anybody gets any funny ideas and say, well, this individual, he's above everybody else because he gets the wahi, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is told to basically explain that idea wouldn't work. Why? Because I get this revelation. The first of that revelation is that there is no Lord and no God except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever wishes for the Day of Judgment and whoever wishes for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then let him do what is good. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Then let him do those deeds that are good, right? So we do deeds which are good, and the deeds which are good have to be confined to the fact that our worship is directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going back to the beginning of this verse and entering into Surah Al-Hujurat as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this verse in Surah Al-Kahf, He said, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say, I am just a human being like all the rest of you. Say, I'm just a human being like all the rest of you. Now we said when he will say this claim, some people will take advantage of this and say, well, he's a human being, I'm a human being, right? If that's the case, then what should we do? Well, everybody has a choice to whatever they want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the beginning of Surah Al-Hujurat, He says, O who you believe. Now start listening very, very carefully. Why? Because you heard, O who you believe. As soon as you hear, O who you believe, you know that this is an address which will either be commanding you of goodness or it will be forbidding you of evil. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to say, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O who you believe. Okay? لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Do not give preference before Allah and His Messenger. To who? To yourself. So if Allah's Messenger is telling us that He is just a human being, that is not our opportunity to give ourselves preference before Allah and His Messenger. Rather, the preference is still given to Allah and the preference is still given to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do not almost give yourself preference. Now I'm going to explain the word تقدموا. Okay? What do we understand from the word تقدموا? We have been commanded to be on a guidance. Okay? What's the guidance? The guidance is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in Surah Al-Fatiha, saying, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Guide us, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the straight path. Guidance, it comes from the word hadi. And the Arabs of old, they used to understand from the word hadi, a camel. A camel that would be at the front of a livestock. You have a group of camels, and then you have at the front of the livestock a camel, and the direction that this camel will take, everybody else will just follow along, right? Everyone will follow along. Now, in your day-to-day life, as you drive around, you don't have camels, so you might not be able to envision this. Let me give you another example. You're on a highway, and as you're on a highway, you're over-speeding, God forbid, right? And you are doing that, and a lot of people also are on this highway, it's dark and whatever the case may be, you're over-speeding anyways, or you're driving and you want to just have some company, right? So it's extremely dark, you need to have someone that can give you light to the front, right? Because there's no lights covering this road, only your headlights can tell you where to go. So you have a number of cars. The frontmost car is the one that's always endangered. And that's why nobody wants to be in the front. Right? Nobody wants to be in the front. So as soon as you go to the front, what happens? You're not so sure about what's oncoming. And you're not so sure about whether you're the one that's going to get the ticket if you're driving fast. You're not so sure. There's a lot of unsureties. So you move back and the other person comes in the front and the other person tries to move back and this process continues, right? So there's someone in the front and someone in the back. Right? This is basically the idea of hidayah. When you ask Allah for guidance, you're asking Allah to place something before you that will lead you to a direction. And so long as there's something before you that will lead you to a direction, what will happen is you will have that insulation of all of the phenomenons around being in the back and not in the front. Right? Now imagine that car again. You're not going to be the one that will take the hit on your pocket in case you get a ticket. You're not going to be the one that will be hit by a moose or something of that nature, depending on where you're driving. You're not going to be the one that may be hit by a camel because there will be a car before you to take that hit. Now the idea is there's a lot of uncertainties and problems that occur if you are the one that is on the front. Allah doesn't want you to go on that front because Allah has already protected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah told us of this in the Quran. He said, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ Allah will protect you from the people. So Allah has given this divine protection to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From what? From the people, from mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam protection from disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Rasulullah protection from everything. Okay? So He's given this special protection. He wants you to stand behind Him. Do not put yourself before Him. Don't be like the one that wants to get in front, and then you end up taking the problems, and you're not given that same sort of protection. Rasulullah has been given that protection. He'll stay before you. He is your guide. You stay behind Him. That's why Allah says, Oh, who you believe, لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Do not give preference before Allah and His Messenger. So as you're walking on this path of guidance, Allah and His Messenger stand before you. You stand behind them. And you just listen to what they're telling you, the direction that they're giving you, the light that's coming around you, right? And that's why you ask for this light. You ask Allah saying, Oh Allah, make light above me, light below me. This is when you're going to the masjid, light in front of me, light behind me, right? So when you're walking, you're insulated with all this light, especially right in front of you. You know where to go. So don't give preference before Allah and His Messenger. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And also fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Now this is generalizing the fear. That was our particular idea that was being discussed, that you don't give preference to anything before Allah and His Messenger. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in fact all hearing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in fact all seeing. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us understand the fact that He is all hearing, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all seeing. You see, that now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to not give preference to anything before Allah and His Messenger, Allah wants to remind us of the fact that He is all hearing and all seeing. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees what you do before people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees what you do after people. Allah is all hearing and Allah is all knowledgeable. And knowledge, by the way, encompasses the fact that He can see, the fact that He can hear, the fact that He can comprehend that which is within your hearts as well. So Allah is in fact all hearing. Allah has comprehensive knowledge. Allah is all seeing. These reminders are being made so that you end up making this your demeanor. This is how you treat Allah and His Messenger if you are by yourself. When you go to the masjid, when you are given a reminder by anybody, right? When you are given a reminder by the elderly to fear Allah, when you're given a reminder by the people that are smaller than you in age, people that are smaller than you in status. You see, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the highest status. And even then Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being reminded by Allah, not once, many times in the Quran, to do what? Ittaqillah. Ya ayyuhan nabi, ittaqillah. Oh, Messenger, fear Allah. Look at that. And when we hear the word fear Allah, what happens? When we hear the word fear Allah, right away we take offense. Right away we get offended by this. Fear Allah, what do you mean fear Allah? Allah's Messenger from above the heavens is being told, fear Allah. Fear Allah. And this occurs more than once. So when you are being told to fear Allah, either by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, or by somebody else, and they're rightfully doing so, then Allah is going to be hearing of what's going to be coming out of you. Are you going to give preference to your own ego before Allah and His Messenger? Or are you going to be submitting your will to Allah and His Messenger? And Allah is also all knowing of this, that are you internally in submission to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to offer and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has guided us to, or are you internally not in rest? And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, nobody becomes a true believer until حَتَّى يَكُونَ هَوَاهُ تَبَعًا لِمَا جِئْتُ بِهِ, until his desires even become in obedience and in following and in submission to what I have brought. So Allah is all hearing. When you hear the word ittaqillah, Allah hears what you're going to be reacting with. Allah is all knowledgeable. Even if it doesn't come out, Allah knows what's inside of you. And the Messenger ﷺ said, the litmus test of belief over here, when you hear of guidance from me, is that you submit to that guidance right away. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us submit to the guidance that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought to us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us benefit from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Join us on the next episode of the tafsir of Surah Al-Hujurat as we continue to explore the pearls and the beauties found within the surah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.